Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you.
Good morning, everybody. Isn't good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. The Bible says, a day in thy courts is worth a thousand. He said, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. So God, we're just depending on you this morning. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we're just so thankful, God, that we're able to be in your house this morning. Lord, there's a lot is not able this morning. Lord, we pray for them, God. Lord, we just ask you to be with the ones that's going through struggles and troubles. Lord, I know I am. And Lord, I know I'm a sinner saved, but grace. Lord, I love you this morning, God, because you've been so good to me. And all the others here could probably testify the same thing. God, just ask you that the Holy Spirit go through here like a mighty rushing wind, just like in the day of Pentecost, Lord. Lord, just look around, Lord, and see that there's so many hurting. There's so many in pain and suffering, and we had Wednesday night prayer service, God, and mentioned all the things that's going on, and all the people who's had troubles and struggles, cancer, heart trouble. Lord, all these different things, God, that they're going through, Lord, just help them and heal them, Lord. God, we just thank you for Brother Cal, Lord, as he comes preach this morning, let the Holy Spirit flow through him in a mighty way, God, that we might receive something through your word. Lord, might excite us to go out and tell other people about you. Lord, sometimes it's hard to express, God, the love that you gave us, Lord, through dying on the cross for our sins, and how you loved us so much. It's just hard to explain. It's hard to understand. But Lord, I just want to thank you this morning, God, for being able to be here. Lord, I just ask you to be with Brother Cal as he preaches this morning. Lord, you be Brother Billy, Lord, as he teaches, God. May we receive something from your word, God, that's going to help us through this week. And help us to serve you better and help us to be better Christians, that we might be an example to others, that we might come to know you as the Lord and Savior. For these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Give God praise today. He is worthy of our praise. Well, let me remind you of this fact today. You never know what tomorrow is going to bring. And bless God, my buddy Gracie Appleton is home. And we give him praise for that. Terry, we're praying for you and Martha and Greg, the family. I was coming in this morning and saw a sign on Appleton's sign said, "We're going to miss you, Gracie." Well, I'm going to miss Gracie too. He used to call me every day. And I'll miss those conversations, but he's with the Lord now. And so y'all pray for the Appleton family today and in the coming days as they celebrate his homegoing. We're in a sermon series right now called God's Perfect Ten. There's Terry over there with Greg. All right. And God's Perfect Ten. And how many of you know Jesus is God's Perfect Ten? Never been anybody like him. And we're moving through the Ten Commandments, and this morning we find ourselves again on the seventh commandment. I didn't get to finish the message last week. We had so much to say. This is a huge topic. And we're going to start there at Exodus 20 and verse 14. Now, I was tore up last week. I wanted to preach on thou shalt not kill again, but read the wrong verse. But we're in verse 14 of Exodus 20 today. You shall not commit adultery. Now, Father, would you bless and honor the reading, the teaching, and the preaching of your authoritative word for us this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, we mentioned several things last week, but mainly we talked about how the seventh commandment, thou shalt not commit adultery, what it has to do with our sexuality. And we learned last week, and we're reminded again, that God created us. Mercy me. God created us. There we go. We're getting there. So we talked about sexuality and learned that any blurring of our sexual identity is sin. And we talked a lot about that. Matter of fact, we spent about 40 minutes on that last Sunday. And so I didn't have time to unpack the last two points of the message. And we're going to do that today, God willing. Now, you remember this. The Old Testament word adultery here, in its basic root form, has to do with any kind of sexual immorality. Okay? So that's what we're talking about. And I want to talk about specifically two areas that the seventh commandment deals with, the area of immorality and the area of purity. Okay? Y'all with me so far? Amen. So thou shalt not commit. No. All right, you're with me. Praise the Lord. Now, let me say this. We don't like to admit this, but we're a bunch of rule breakers. We are. It's deep down in us. I mean, we don't want to live by the rules. For instance, I was walking in a park the other day, and beautiful setting, beautiful place, and I was walking on the sidewalk through this park, and right over close to the sidewalk, there was a sign that said, "Don't walk on the grass." Well, you know what your pastor immediately wanted to do? I wanted to go walk on the grass. And the reason is, I'm a rebel and so are you. We want to break the rules, don't we? I mean, that's just, well, there's a bent and a tendency deep down in us to want to do that. But I want to tell you, God's word has not changed. And this rule, this commandment, this guideline is still in place. And I don't care if everybody's doing it, it's still not what God wants, okay? Now, having said that, let me say this. For those in the Old Testament that disobeyed this commandment and they were found guilty, death was the penalty. And even when you get over to the New Testament, the penalty for breaking this commandment, you could be stoned to death. And even after that, in Hebrews 13 and verse 4 says, marriage is honorable among all, the bed undefiled, but God will judge fornicators and adulterers. Now, that doesn't make me happy to say that today, but I want to tell you, God hates sin because of what it does to us. And so He set up these guidelines and these rules for us to obey. And when we stay in the boundary lines, it's glory, hallelujah. But when we get out of the boundary lines, it's oh me. And oh my. So well, let's unpack first of all this. I want to say two things about immorality, sexual immorality today. Number one, physical immorality, and then we're going to talk about mental immorality. Now, the most probably frequent thing we would think of when it comes to physical immorality is this thing called fornication and adultery. Those are the New Testament words for this word. Okay, so let's talk about fornication first of all. Aren't you glad you came? You won't hear many sermons like this elsewhere, but we preach the whole Bible here. And so fornication is simply this. It's sex before marriage and sex after marriage among single folks that are not involved in a biblical marriage. Are you with? That's fornication. That's what that word means. And I hear this all the time. Well, Pastor, everybody's doing it. Well, you're going to learn a little something here. Not everybody's doing it. But that's what everybody wants you to think, you know. But again, God's commandment has not changed, even if everybody is doing it. I'll tell you, premarital and postmarital, all that stuff brings is heartache. It brings brokenness. It rips relationships apart. It tears us all to pieces. God created sex, as we learned last week, to be something sacred, to be something beautiful, for our mutual fulfillment, and to propagate the earth. God, it was a beautiful, still is a beautiful gift when it's used within its guidelines. Now, it can even, now let me just speak for a minute to our single folks who are not yet married, never been married. This can even hinder your future marriage, fornication. How so? Well, I never even really thought about this, but I was doing a disciple now back in the 90s up in Kentucky, and the host home parents that we were staying in was a beautiful man and a woman, and they'd been married for several years. And so they were sitting in one of our sessions, and we just happened to be talking about growing in godliness, this area of sex. It was a high school group. And all of a sudden, the wife in this host home started bawling. She got emotional, was weeping. And finally, after she got control of things, she said, Cal, could I say something? I said, sure. And she said, now, I've got a beautiful husband. And we looked at him, and I said, that's beautiful. Anyways, she said, he's so kind and wonderful, and he's so loving. And she said, but, you know, I've been saved all my life, seems like. She said, I came out of a Christian family, and I abstained and kept myself pure for my marriage and went into that. But she said, my husband had only been saved for 3 or 4 years before we were married, and he had multiple sexual partners. And she said, every time we climb into the bed, she said, I wonder if I'm living up to his sexual expectations. And we had prayer over her, and I believe God set her free from that. But I want to tell you, when you break this area, this rule, it's going to bring tremendous consequences. Now, I told you that everybody says that they're doing it, you know. Well, the Center for Disease Control, I believe it's the CDC, I did some digging this week, and you know what I found out? 40% of high school boys and girls from the ages of 15 to 19 are sexually active. I would have thought it had been much higher. But by the time those kids have graduated high school, the majority of them are sexually active. But not everybody's doing it. And then I ran across a study on those kids who were abstaining before marriage. And here's what I found out. They all had something in common. They had open lines of communication with their parents. In other words, they had ongoing conversations with mom and dad. And they all, to a T, loved the Lord Jesus Christ and wanted to please Him by being obedient to His word in this area. And so what you need to do today, single folks, and we'll talk about this at the end, is just make the decision to honor God with your body. And then what about adultery? Well, I'm glad you asked. A lot of stuff here on adultery. But basically, adultery is extramarital sex, okay? And it's rampant as well. We've gotten so used to it now, we just simply say, well, she's having a little fling on the side. Or he is just having an affair. Adultery has fractured more families. There may be some couples in here, and you've been through this, and it like to got you, and it brings heartache to a family. And I can't, there's so much here that I could say, but let me just say this to my married couples in here. I don't know what happened in the beginning, but evidently your spouse fell in love with you and cared for you, or you wouldn't be married. And it just so happens a lot of the time, married couples will have kids. And you're going to step out on your spouse who does love you and care for you, even though that love may be waning a little bit. I mean, there's always two stories, right? And those kids that look up to you, I just want to say lovingly and gently as I know how, if you're engaged in adultery, stop. Just stop. Don't do it. Most important thing you've got outside of your relationship with God is with your spouse and then with your kids. Somebody give God praise for that. Hallelujah. Hope. If I trip over Bruce's $900 guitar, I'll be in trouble. Now, the sin of adultery and sexual immorality obviously brings all kinds of issues: AIDS, venereal disease, prostitution, perversion, unwed pregnancy. All those things are really a way of life in America, are they not? Well, here's what I want to get to. I was going to read this scripture later on in the message, but it's so big, so huge. Would you turn in your Bibles with me to Romans chapter 1? Romans chapter 1, and I want you all to see this. We've read it before, and we're going to read it again. Fornication and adultery, and there's some other issues here. Now, homosexuality is what? Sex with the same sex. That's a no-brainer, right? All right. Tell you what, let's start at verse 18. For the wrath of God, Romans 1:18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. You understand what that's saying? We know when we do something wrong, we're not supposed to do it. God has given us creation, conscience, and even the cross to show us our need for Christ. We're all guilty. And when we, early on, when we sin in this area and other areas, we know it's wrong. We're guilty. We know it. But we keep suppressing the truth. And we keep pushing God away. We keep, watch what happens. For since the creation of the world, verse 20, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. He's talking about idolatry there. Therefore, watch this, God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lusts of their hearts, to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie, and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions. Now, I didn't write this. God did. Watch this. Lean in. Listen to this. For even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another. Men with men, committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetous, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. We talked about that last week. Undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful. Who? Now, well, let's watch this. Listen to this. Who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. Now let's unpack that. Okay, the sin of fornication, adultery, homosexuality, bestiality. pedophilia, perversion, prostitution. You can come up with any sexual immorality you want to come up with. When people break this commandment, they know it. They know they're not supposed to do it. They're guilty. But here's what happens. When you continue to want to fulfill your own desires and your own lust, rather than being obedient to the Word of God, and you continue to push God away, and you continue to say no to the Word, and you continue living a life of disobedience, brothers and sisters, Genesis 6:3 says that the Spirit of Almighty God will not always strive with humanity. At some point in time, God says, okay, if you want to live that kind of lifestyle, it's all yours. You can have it. If you want to fulfill, and then their minds grow dark to the truth, and they think they're wise, but the Bible calls them fools. Now, I didn't write that. God did. Why? Because He's got a much bigger plan and purpose for my life than I can even begin to understand. And it involves being obedient, staying in the boundary lines of God's blessing. And that's right where we're at as a nation, am I right? That's where we are. I have people ask me all the time, do you think we're under the judgment of God? Folks, that happened years ago. These sins that we're talking about is proper proof and evidence that America is under the judgment of God. God will judge fornicators and adulterers. That's what Hebrews 13:4 says. And so, if you're involved in any of this stuff today, stop. Stop. And by the way, you can stop. And by the way, did you read verse 32? Did you catch that? Those who know this stuff is wrong and don't do anything to stop it, they're just as guilty as those who are practicing. Man, the chickens are coming home to roost here today. And I want to tell you, I'm thankful for the blood of Jesus, because we're all guilty. Second kind of immorality that we're talking about is not only physical immorality, but mental immorality. And y'all, this one is just as large and big as the other. Mental immorality. Let's see what Jesus said. Look at your neighbor and say, let's see what Jesus said. Matthew 5. Matthew 5. I told you we were all guilty, and here it is. Matthew 5. When you get there, say amen. Amen. Matthew 5, 27. You have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in her in his heart. In his heart. Now you can flip-flop that as well. Girls, it's just as good for the goose as it is for the gander. When you get to the point, now what we're talking about here is not just a glance, but it's a second look, a long look, a lustful look, and your mind starts thinking. You're guilty of violating this commandment. You see what Jesus is saying? We don't stop and look at it that way, though, do we? Mental immorality is just as serious as physical immorality. And by the way, you don't have to go get this one. I'll get it for you. Here, this is the strongest statement that I can find in the Bible on sexual addiction. And it's rampant in America also, sexual addiction. Listen to this. And he's talking here in 2 Peter chapter 2, about folks who walk in the flesh, who want to fulfill their own desires and their own lust and those kinds of things. He says there in verse, they are, 2 Peter 2, verses 13b through 14, they are spots and blemishes, carousing in their own deceptions while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery. and cannot cease from sin, enticing unstable souls. They have a heart trained in covetous practices and are accursed children. Strongest statement right there that I know of in the Bible about sexual addiction, and it begins right up here. Begins right up here in the mind. Some folks have a secret thought life. Some folks relish the thoughts of going there. Pornography. Do you know what an albatross that is in our nation? It's huge. 90% of the young men in our country. Now, when I say young men, I'm talking about late teens, early to mid-20s. 90% of them struggle with pornography and going to porn websites on a daily basis. The largest porn website in America has 64 million Americans every day viewing 90 million pornographic videos. Every day. And girls, 26% of them are female. It doesn't just end with the males. The porn industry is $150 billion a year. Mental immorality can lead to physical immorality. Adultery, sexual addiction, rape, prostitution, perversion, and even death. Where do you think Ted Bundy and Jeffrey Dahmer, some of these serial killers, where do you think all that stuff started? Right up here. With pornography. So, I've said all of that to say this. Here's how you deal with mental immorality and physical immorality. Are you ready for this? Are y'all ready for this? Are y'all ready for this? This is the Word of God for the people of God today. Here it is. Verse 29, we're right back here on Matthew 5. If your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you. For it's more profitable for you that one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell. You see, people who practice these sins, it's the pattern of their life, it's their lifestyle, they're on their way to hell. It's evidence you've never been changed and saved by the power of Almighty God. And he says, and if your right hand causes you to sin, verse 30, cut it off and cast it from you, for it's more profitable for you that one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell. So you mean to tell me, Pastor, I've got to cut off my hands? I've got to gouge out my eyes? Well, that's figurative language in a way. But I want to tell you, Jesus is talking about radical surgery. Radical surgery. Because it entails not only the life here, but the life you're going to experience in all of eternity. And so what we're talking about is simply this. Cancel your subscriptions to anything that's pornographic. Get you some anti-porn software on your electronic devices. Schedule an appointment and a date with a therapist or a counselor. Get in an accountability group. I'm in an accountability group every Friday morning. And this issue comes up. I can't get in this accountability group and be practicing this stuff. Get accountable to some people. And then if you've got some friends that lead you into this area of temptation, cut them off. Get rid of them. And don't go to the places that put you into temptation with this stuff. God expects us to be holy. Amen. Wants us to be pure. And so the seventh commandment deals with immorality. I've got to hurry. Now, I promise y'all, every Sunday, we're going to look at what the Word of God says, and man, it's brutal sometimes like it is this morning. But I am not going to leave you bleeding. I'm not going to leave you so bound up and bruised up that you can't get out of here, all right? Some of you are here and you're thinking, Pastor, I've already blown it in this area. Well, bless God, join the club. I was telling Mary Ann a couple of weeks ago that I was in a Bible study every other week down at a big prison in Clifton, Tennessee. And we're sitting there around the table. I'm sitting there around the table with about a dozen prisoners who were there for, most of them were there for life. And one of them said, before we got started that afternoon, he said, Pastor, he said, it's kind of like this. Some of us got caught and some of us didn't. We don't need to be looking down our long critical noses this morning at anybody, because we're all guilty in this area at some point in time along the way. And so let's talk about purity. He calls us to get up and go from here. Did you know you can get up here today and leave and live a pure lifestyle? Jesus will clean you up so good it'll be like you never sinned in that area again. You can leave here pure and holy, and I'm going to show you how to do that and how to wrap your mind around that and your heart around that. But it begins with making the choice. Diane and I celebrated 39 years together in marriage Friday. Hallelujah. But she has chosen to love me. Marriage doesn't just click all the time. You got to work on it. Come on, married couples. You got to work at it. And it's a choice that you make. And we love one another so much, Friday night we stayed home and had tacos together for a celebration. Actually, my son gave up a ticket to go watch the Memphis Grizzlies and come home and spend the weekend with his mom and dad, and he loves tacos. So that's why we celebrated Friday night with tacos. But anyways, she's made the choice to be faithful to me and to love me. And that's the choice that needs to be made by all of us here today. Make the choice. Now, let me give you some real practical advice, and then we're going to close again with what Jesus said. Now, girls, don't take your high heels off and start throwing them at me. But you need to make the choice. For those of you that are in a marriage, by the way, let me say this to our single folks. Make the choice today to remain pure for your marriage partner. Make that choice today to abstain. And you say, I can't do that. I've had 5 youth pastors in my ministry, and all 5 of them were virgins when they got married. But everybody's doing it. No, everybody's not. You can do this. And if you'll make the choice today to repent and get clean, God will clean you up. And you can remain pure. And so make that choice, you single adults. Make that choice today. And by the way, Glenn, not everybody has to get married, do they? Did you know a single man can be closer to Jesus than I can? Because I've got family responsibilities and other responsibilities. He's got more time spent with Jesus than I do. Paul said, I wish y'all were like me. Amen. So, practical advice for our single adults. Here's some practical advice for our married couples. Girls, whatever you did to attract him in the first place, go back and do it again. I know how hard-headed he is, but I want to tell you, he's visual. And it'd be all right from time to time to take that hardware out of your hair. Get rid of that 10-year-old bathroom, that 10-year-old bathrobe, and those house shoes that sound like a screeching hoot owl every time you go across the floor. And get the romance back in your marriage. Guys, you're next. Fellas, it'd be real good if you started doing the things that you first did to attract her. It wouldn't hurt us to get back in shape and go buy some decent looking clothes. I'm going to really... If I don't get fired today, I've missed a good chance. Put the romance back in your marriage. Make her feel like she's number one in your hit parade. Throw the remote down for a little while. And talk to her. You know what I'm saying is truth, right? Now, let's go back. We're about out of time. What do you do if you've already blown it in this area? Turn to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. Now, this is amazing. John chapter 8, verse 3. Then the scribes and Pharisees brought to him, Jesus, a woman caught in adultery. You know, I've always wondered, where was the guy that takes two to tango, right? And when they had set her in the midst, they said to him, Teacher, this woman was caught in adultery in the very act. I'm like, what? Where you caught her? Mercy. Mental immorality. Now, Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what do you say? This they said, testing him that they might have something of which to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground with his finger as though he didn't hear. So when they continued asking him, he raised himself up and said to them, He who is without sin, let him cast the first stone. Amen. And again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. Then those who heard it, being convicted by their conscience, went out one by one, beginning with the oldest, even to the last. You understand what's going on here? I mean, here's a woman that's been caught in the act of adultery. And if you're found guilty, even in the New Testament, you ought to be stoned. You could be stoned to death. I mean, now they're trying to trap Jesus, obviously. This is a set-up deal. They should have brought the scoundrel that she committed the act of adultery with too. And so Jesus just stooped down and started doodling in the dirt. And they kept on. Law says, stoner, what do you say? And he said, well, he who was without sin, let them, y'all got your rocks and your stones with you, go ahead and start throwing. And then he stooped down and wrote, you know what I think he was writing? I think he was writing down the names of their sexual partners outside of him. And one by one, dum, 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 stones fell. And then, wasn't long, it's just Jesus and this woman. Watch this. And Jesus was left alone and the woman standing in the midst. And when Jesus had raised himself up and saw no one but the woman, he said to her, Woman, where are your accusers? Is there no one who condemns you? And she said, No one, Lord. And Jesus said to her, Neither do I condemn you. But you go and sin no more. He didn't let her off the hook, but he did tell her, I forgive you of any and all sin. Little did she know that he was about to go to the cross to pay for her adulterous act and all of her sexual sin and all of her mental immorality. And by the way, he did the same for each one of us. And he does not condemn you. Get that now. He's not going to hold that over your head. That's why the Father held him up on the cross. So he could spread out his arms and tell you how much he loves you. And pay for your sin and mine. And he said, but you go and you sin no more. And that's what he's saying to us in here, church. today, this morning, we need to do exactly what Jesus told us to do, to go and sin no more. Not in this area, not in any other area. He expects us to be holy and to live a righteous life. And you can do that because He said, you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. You can get free from all sexual addiction. You can get free from anything because Jesus said He would set you free. But you've got to come to Him His way. Can you imagine how that lady must have felt that day? Whoo, glory to God. Well, that's the way you feel when you come to the understanding that God's forgiven you and He's cleaned you up and He's made you pure and you can live a pure lifestyle from here on out. That's what we need to do. Would you bow your head with me? Nobody looking around. Bruce and Robin, y'all come on. Now, you may be thinking, well, if I come and pray today at the altar, somebody's going to think that I've messed up. We've all messed up. And the biggest issue here today is, are you going to say yes to Jesus? Are you going to be obedient? He expects this area of our life to be crystal clean. And the only way you can do that is to be cleansed by His blood. You need to apply that by faith today. And I want to ask you all, like all over the room, just all over the room, if you need cleansing in this area or some other area, I want to ask you to just come. And we'll pray for you. There'll be counseling. There'll be anybody and everybody be here to pray with you and pray for you. But you've got to come. I'm going to pray for you while Thomas, if you'll cut those lights, dim those lights down. I'm going to pray for us. Father, it's decision time in this church house today. This is the most important time. Don't let the evil one distract us. Oh God, help us to say yes to Jesus. For those that need to be saved here today, oh, I pray, God, that they would repent of their sin and by faith look to Jesus and Him alone and cry out to Him, save me. And for the rest of us, God, that need cleansing, oh God, help us in this area. Send prayer warriors to this altar today, God, to cry out to You. Do what only You can do. We promise to give You praise. In Jesus' name. Now Bruce and Robin are going to lead us in a hymn of response, a song of invitation. And this is for us. It's your time.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.